We're back with more of Lake Effect Now. I'm Bonnie North. Cellist Robert Cohen has performed in many kinds of venues, from the small and intimate to the grand concert stage. But his most recent musical adventure found him in need of a sextant and some nautical maps, along with some seasick pills. He joins me on Skype now to explain from his home in London. Hello, Robert. Great to talk to you again.
Great to speak to you, too.
I understand you were just on a cruise.
Yes, about 9 days on a cruise. Not quite the way you might think, I have to say, because it was a working cruise. It was a musical journey, a musical cruise.
Before we get into the actual cruise itself, is this something that happens often for classical musicians, where you're hired to get onto a cruise and perform during the length of that cruise?
Yes, it is quite common. There are even orchestras that go on tour, as it were, on the cruise. And in this case, there's a French cellist called Dominique de Williancourt and composer who organizes musical cruises sort of around Europe, really. And he invited the Fine Arts Quartet to take part on this cruise with a number of other very wonderful and very special musicians who we collaborated with some of the time. And the audience come to listen to the music, and also to listen to the music on concerts on the ship, but also at all the places that we stop on the way. So we were actually touring up the North Sea from London. We started off in London, in a concert in London, then got on the ship under just next to Tower Bridge, which was fantastic because it opened specially for us.
Oh, how exciting.
It's quite unusual. Yeah. So we reversed out through Tower Bridge, and then we set off up the east coast. The first stop was going to be Whitby, but in fact it was so rough, the weather, they had to cancel stopping at Whitby because they said it wasn't safe for us to be docking there. So that wasn't a great start, I have to say. I'd been a bit worried about the whole thing in the first place.
Did they manage to complete the cruise? I mean, I know the North Sea can be incredibly rough, even in the middle of summer.
Well, as it turned out to be. But we did, actually. We went straight up to Newcastle. We stopped in Newcastle, and that was fine. And actually, the weather was really beautiful, but it just seemed to be at sea that things were so bad. We went from there up to Edinburgh and from there up to the Orkneys and the Shetland Islands and then across to Norway. So we visited some really beautiful places and played concerts on land in some places which were lovely. But also, as I said, we also played on the ship, which was quite an experience. I'd never really done it before because you've got the ship rolling around and tilting and you're trying to sort of sit still enough to play even. And, you know, the bow's going up in the air and the cello's going one way and you're going the other way and your hands, it's a very strange experience. We all had to deal with it, and the audience too, you know, I mean, they were kind of rolling around a bit in their seats as we played.
I have to say, I've never heard of going to a concert and getting seasick. You know,
well, I was actually I was so well prepared because I was worried about this seasickness, and I kept saying to the quartet, look, this is the North Sea, you know, it's not going to be some sort of lake, you know. And they were saying, oh no, we're so excited about it. But then literally very early on there was quite a bit of sickness, but I was dosed up with the pills and the bands you put around your wrists, and I actually was okay, fortunately.
Oh, that's good, because otherwise you're trying to not only play with the deck pitching under you and all of that, but then doped up on Dramamine or whatever it is that you
take. Exactly. It's not an ideal situation. But having said that, there were so many really, really unusual and lovely things that happened, because, I mean, in a festival, for instance, the last 7 or 8 days, you know, you're playing concerts and the audience is usually the same audience coming to lots of different concerts, so you get to know them. But on a ship, you're literally with them all the time. You're eating with them, you're traveling in on buses to the concert venues on land, then you're traveling back with them. You really are at close quarters with your audience and with the other musicians throughout the entire trip. And also, you know, everybody's very sympathetic to any illness going on and the conditions. And so you bond in a way that I must say is quite unusual. And with the musicians too, because you don't exactly have special rehearsal areas for everybody to go off and do their rehearsals during the trip. There are a limited number of places. So you tend to sit and listen to other people rehearsing, which is very unusual. And then you just don't have that many opportunities. So the rest of the time you're sitting with the audience or sitting with your fellow musicians. So there's a lot of time spent together. And that has been a really wonderful thing because you really get to know people that you normally only see very briefly.
And the audience get to see and hear how you put pieces together, how you rehearse. I mean, that's kind of a peek behind the curtain that we don't often get.
Yes, that's right. I mean, they were really open rehearsals. In fact, the place we rehearsed was basically the room with the bar in it. So, of course, that was
appropriately
naturally
enough.
Where everybody gravitated.
Somehow I'm not surprised that that's where they put the musicians.
Yes, and of course, the fact that we were around Scotland and all that didn't mean that the whiskey was going to be quite something.
Quite, you know? Nice, yes. Well, I understand that once you got back to London, or maybe it was before you went on the trip, you were also doing concerts in and around London with at least Miguel from the Fine Arts Quartet.
That's right. I mean, I had one very, very special concert because, well, I had the opportunity to invite the pianist that I've worked with for 20 years very regularly before I joined the Fine Arts Quartet, called Heini Karkkainen, a wonderful Finnish pianist, who I've talked to about the quartet, of course, a lot since I joined them in 2011. And I've spoken to the quartet about Heini, and on this particular occasion, Miguel was in London, as I was, and we were able to invite Heini to join us for a concert. And it just felt really, really wonderful because it was as though I'd really linked my previous life as a soloist with my life with the Fine Arts Quartet in a very personal way. And both Miguel and Heini, they got on so well, both personally and musically. So the three of us gave this concert. And one piece of music in particular that has always been a great favourite of mine, which is the Brahms Clarinet Trio, that's for clarinet, cello and piano, and which Heini and I have played many times with clarinetists. But Miguel said, well, this is a very normal piece for viola players to replace the clarinet. I didn't really realise that this was done. And in fact, Miguel explained to me that a lot of the clarinet repertoire suits the viola in the range. The range is very similar. And so we played it. And I have to say, it was an absolute revelation. Playing a piece that you know so well and have played so many times, and then it is sort of transformed in a way by changing one of the instruments. And of course, Miguel, being such an incredible viola player, brought something else to it too. So we had that was just a magical experience, having that opportunity to give that concert together.
And I imagine also to work with someone that you have worked with within the Fine Arts Quartet in a particular way, and now to experience each other musically in a completely new way.
You're absolutely right. It was something that we've never done before. We also played some duos, just viola and cello. Beethoven, for instance, wrote a duo for viola and cello called the Eyeglass Duo. It was a sort of almost like a joke for two friends who needed to wear glasses in order to read music. But it's a beautiful piece of music. And we've been just talking about playing it together and playing together. And so we included that in the program. But yes, playing something like that in a situation with a member of the quartet, not with all the others, was really wonderful. And I hope that, you know, we'll all have that opportunity to do that. And I have to just to say also that, you know, perhaps people don't realize that we don't always get to choose the music we play. I mean, with our series in UWM in Milwaukee, we choose our programs. But a lot of the time when we're touring, which is most of the time, we don't get the full say about which programs we want to play. We can make suggestions, but then the promoters of the venues that we play at will always say, well, we've had that quartet at this point, or we can't have that again, or could you play this? And so in the end, programs are made sort of negotiated, really, until you come up with something. And so that means that when we really do get to choose what we would like to play, that's a really good experience for us.
So I have to ask, will you do another cruise trip again? Will you, or would you just not want to ever try to do that again?
You're asking me too soon, Bonnie, because I've only just got off the ship and I'm still spinning around. And probably for the next few days, I'm going to say, well, it's going to have to be an awful long time before I do that again. But ask me next week, I might say something. All the really lovely things about it might just completely obliterate my memories of surging stomachs and
and rolling seas
going off in odd directions.
Yes, I can remember many years ago doing a channel crossing from Belgium to Dover, and it was one of those things where it was a giant car ferry, and it was literally almost like making a U going across. And I think I was the only person, including the crew, that wasn't ill. I don't know how that happened. I tend not to get seasick, but, you know, it was horrific. And I was, when you told me that you were going to be on a cruise, I was imagining that. I was thinking,
I can't actually talk about any of it to my wife, Rachel, because she had a terrible experience many years ago on a musical cruise in the South Pacific and was sick for 3 weeks. So even if I just bring up the subject of what happened in this last 10 days, she said, just don't talk about it, because it makes me ill immediately.
I go green thinking about it. Well, I'm glad that you're not completely turned off to the idea, because I have to say, the idea of getting on a ship with like-minded people, people who love music, people who play music, and having that time together to really explore sounds really delightful, as long as the sea cooperates.
Yes. And you know what? While we were on the cruise, and there was so much, the audience were listening to so much music. We were giving concerts on land that were sort of normal length concerts without an interval, because there wasn't time. Then we would be playing again in the evening. Then there were rehearsals. And I spoke, you know, talking to the audience, I said, is it just too much music? And they said, not enough. So it really is, you know, perhaps it's even a more addictive when you're listening to that much music. Who knows? They obviously thought so.
Robert Cohen is the cellist for the Milwaukee-based Fine Arts Quartet and our On That Note contributor. There's a link to more information about the Fine Arts Quartet's summer evening concerts at wuwm.com.